Let's bow. Our Heavenly Father, thank you for this day, Lord, and thank you for each one of these committee members here that have made it tonight, Lord, and protect those that are home, Lord, with being on quarantine or being sick with COVID, Lord. We ask you to protect each one of us and our people out in the audience and our county employees, Lord, from COVID, Lord. And we thank you for all those that have come through COVID, Lord, and survived. We ask you to bless this body that has come together and protect each one of us. And we ask these things in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
That are present, would you please stand? Thank you all for being here. And all, this time, Margaret, would you call the roll?
Yes, Your Honor. Allison.
Here.
Boyer.
Present.
Brown.
Here.
Higgins.
Here.
Kendricks.
Here.
Knight.
Here.
Lahosky. Moss. Pearson.
Here.
Pickett.
Here.
Rowland.
Here.
Shock.
Here.
Strain.
Here.
Thank you. We'll turn to tab one. We need to address the journal of proceedings last month. What is your pleasure?
Make a motion we approve the journal as presented.
Second.
Motion been made and seconded to approve the journal as presented. Any questions that you have on any issue in the journal? Hearing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? Thank you. County officers report. Treasurer Sasson, would you start out?
Thank you, Judge. If you'll turn with tab two, we're going to look at the summary of statements for 4 and 4, January 1st, 2021 through December 30th, 2021. County General Fund 1,000, $4,429,331.32. County Road Fund 2,000, $4,521,948.28. County Road Sales Tax Fund 3402, $3,615,176.94. County Welfare and Control, Animal Welfare and Control, 3404, $1,411,702.40. Criminal Justice Tax Fund 3407, $1,929,315.05. Flipping to page two, this is the chart for County General Revenue. As you can see, the County General Revenue is greatly above the last 3 years have been pretty close to one another. This has jumped up quite a bit versus last year. And with page three, sales tax for December was $1,074,796.58, and the total for the year in sales tax is $11,913,357.38. That is 16.12% of 2020 numbers. And on page four, as you can see, we finished up 117% projected on sales tax. And page five is our 3 month moving average versus our 1 month moving average. And as you can see, we're still greatly above that. Are there any questions? We also reported some end of the year reports to the Budget Finance Committee, which most of you are here for. We passed out, but those documents, end of the year documents, are on the website under Treasurer's Report.
Anybody got any questions? Anybody want to say amen? Thanks, Scott.
Thank you, Judge.
Turn with me. Deputy Woody. Oh, thanks. Tim, you're on Zoom. You have
Jim, I am. I'm sorry, late. I was having trouble connecting.
Okay. You want to give Sheriff's report? I know.
Yes, sir, if I could, please.
Yes, you're next. Go right in.
Judge, first of all, if I could, I'd like to open up just kind of saying that since this court has approved raises for the Faulkner County Sheriff's Department, that has been a game changer for our department. And I want to thank each and every member on this court for helping and guiding and leading and for that task to happen. It's taken a long, long time in my eyes for this to finally occur. And now that it has occurred, we are actually on schedule to fill every detention facility position and every patrol position, and that's a big deal for Faulkner County and public safety as a whole. This is one stepping stone, a large stepping stone that we need to continue to make. And so with that said, let me just talk about our, let me go over the December of 2021 stats. Our average head count for Unit 1 was 150, capacity 118. At Unit 2, our capacity is 218 with 126. Our females are at 56 on average, and our juvenile was 14 for the month of December. Inmate intakes was 302, and our releases was 335. We, in December, after these raises, the number of vacant positions, and these are, I don't always read these, but our number in December of 2020 for vacant positions of our detention officers was 13. We know it was at 20. In December, we're down to 5 vacant positions. And that is such a huge increase and such a relief and what a stress off of our detention facility. The average ADC inmates that we have housed for the month of December was 76. And going to patrol, number of calls to dispatch, 2,758. The number of calls to the Faulkner County Sheriff's Office, 2,021. Number of violent crimes in December was 51. Number of thefts and criminal mischief was 75. We had over 80 animal calls. And our animal citations for December was 5. That was citations, and animal warnings is 2. Criminal Investigation Division, we opened up 68 cases. We closed 21. And on our transport, the total trips was 71. With a total cost of $8,973.41. Judge, that's all I have on the stats, unless there are any questions.
Any questions of anybody? Yes, Judge.
Sheriff, can you tell us about the COVID situation in jail?
Our COVID situation right now is our guys have done an excellent job of trying to keep COVID out. We have 7 detention officers who have tested positive with COVID, and we have 8 detention detainees that has tested positive with COVID, and that's a big deal.
Thank you. I was going to ask you too, Sheriff. Back right after I was elected and before I took office, Justice Higgins, you and Matt Rice led me around tour of the jail facilities and stuff, and y'all have talked to me about some needs. I know several of the JPs on this court over the last year that I've been on this court have mentioned about the jail needs and the need to expand the jail or to build a new jail over there at the Unit 2 campus. And could you speak to the need there? I see the 150 versus 118 capacity in Unit 1. Could you talk a little bit about what you need in that department?
Was this Justice Allison?
Yes, sorry. Yes, sir. I'm sorry. It is.
Okay. Justice Allison. Yes, sir. What I can tell you is that our Unit 1 facility is a facility that is a detention facility that was built on top of the offices of the administration. And I think I have put out some emails and made it known that this is a, I don't know what they were thinking when they done that to begin with. I guess maybe 20 years ago or 30 years ago when this, 20 years ago, maybe it was 30 years ago, when this facility was built, maybe that was a good thing. But after the deterioration of it, and I'm just speaking to the administration part right now, we wind up getting a lot of the remnants of a deteriorating facility that's above our heads into our offices. And it's almost a weekly or a monthly objective of trying to stop water leaks and at times sewage coming down into our offices. It's a constant battle. We contain that, we maintain it, and we make it happen. But that is something that we deal with. Now, here's the biggest thing. At that time when we were looking at this, we had a state I don't know what Sterling Pinnock's title is off the top of my head, but we had had a letter from the state stating that we needed to concentrate our efforts on relieving some of the overcrowdedness within our Unit 1 facility. And during the COVID, we were capable of doing that, but we've done that, but it was at a cost. It wasn't a cost to us, it was a cost to the public. We were able to reduce some of these numbers down strictly to try to stay in accordance with what the state mandate is as far as the jail and what the state mandate was as far as COVID. And so we were able to reduce these numbers, and that was a snapshot at one time to where we got a reduction of numbers here. But at that time, we were averaging somewhere to about 130 to 140 in our 150 in our maximum security facility, and we had expressed our need of having an additional maximum security facility, and we had requested that to be over at the Unit 2 facility where we could get everything in one campus, one location. Now, moving ahead to today, we are back up to 150 inmates in a capacity of 118. So we still are dealing with that problem, the reduction that we had is a snapshot at that time during COVID. But reevaluating offenders and getting them moved and released in by the courts or by ADC or by probation and parole to get those numbers in a reduction mode. And basically what I'm saying is, in order to be in compliance or as close as compliance as we could be, we had to let inmates go that shouldn't have been let go. And they're not violent offenders, because we did not let any violent offenders release. At Unit 1, that's who we hold, is violent offenders. So that's where we were at the time. That's a snapshot and up to date that we are still dealing with the same issue. But I think that, at one time we had maybe it was an ordinance of, we had a company who had come up and looked at, given us some information about building a new jail. I think we had an appropriation by ordinance to be able to contract them for at least the very first phase of coming up and looking at what it is that we would need. In a little more detail, we had looked at some planning to where a shell was going to be built. We were going to fill one quarter of that with 64 beds. And then as we progressed through the years coming, we could add the other additional three quarters of bed space, 64 in each one. And that's what we were looking at. But I think that initial cost, and Tom or somebody may be able to correct me, or Randy, It seems like it was at the $3.5 million, $3.4 or $3.6, somewhere in there is about what that Shell and get a 64-bed facility in addition to that would release some stress right now. That would release stress right now. But eventually having the room to be able to expand to get our entire criminal maximum security facility moved over into this one facility. That was kind of what the plan was.
Thank you, Sheriff. I just want you to know that the other day, just Tegan shared what he had read about the American Recovery Plan, the latest final rule on that. I talked about this the other night, and we talked about it, but I read that this week, and it looks like we're going to have $10 million unencumbered in that American Recovery Plan. And I am starting a process. I've already submitted to Councilor Murphy some ordinances to start the process for an architectural and planning stages of a new jail. And I want to push that out to the committees next month and hopefully get this started, because as I see it, in the near future, in the foreseeable future, interest rates and construction costs are going to do nothing but go up and skyrocket. So what may cost us $10 million or $15 million or even $20 million now may cost $30 or $40 million in the near future. So I just want you to know that we're working on this and we're trying to get you the facilities you need.
Mr. Sileson, thank you. And I'll tell you, I don't think there's a member on this court who has not recognized the disparity of our public safety recently and where we actually stand and knowing that public safety needs to be put on the front burners for this opportunity and this change. And the county judge has been a big implement in trying to help move things forward as far as a county jail. And I don't know what happened in the past as far as where that went. I'm behind times on it, but I do know that the court and the county judge is definitely in their hearts, their priority is the public safety and the creation of space for these inmates that's so desperately needed. So thank you, Justice Allison.
Thank you, sir, and all your men and women who work in your department.
Yes, sir.
Do you have any questions? Sure. Go ahead.
Sheriff Rouse, this is Justice Kendrick.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir. I was going to say it could be, if you would put it on your radar, it could be appropriate to have your team to look at those plans again and determine if that's, you know, the chart we want to path forward is what we have previously talked about on this court, because I think many of the members of this court hadn't seen, they weren't on the court when that presentation was made. So I think it could be advantageous that we start looking at that, maybe give that presentation again, determine if that's the path that your office wants to go down and the court looks at it, because like Justice Allison said, I know I've said it, I know several other justices have said it, I think replacing our Unit 1 facility, our maximum security facility, is the highest priority in this county. I think having that unencumbered $10 million is very beneficial for the county. We've been setting back some money. I intend to run an ordinance with some of this extra rollover money we have to put that back in the capital infrastructure as well, give us a little additional money. And I think it'd be advantageous if we could get another presentation on that and make sure that's a path we want to go down again and start looking at it. And I know last time we had funded some architectural drawings and plans, and those never got acted on, but I think we need to look at doing that again.
Justice Skeeter, I'll make that happen. I'll make sure that we get the planning that we had previously done in place and get that to you guys. Absolutely.
Thank you, sir. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Other questions of the sheriff? Hearing none, any other county official have a report this time? Hearing none. Standing committee report, finance report.
Judge, the budget and finance met last Tuesday, and we have two ordinances for the court to consider and lawyer, and one ordinance that we're the committee is co-sponsored on.
Personnel?
Yes, Your Honor, the personnel committee met last week and forwarded one ordinance to budget and finance, which is being presented tonight before full court.
Of course, the public safety
Your Honor, Courts and Public Safety Committee met last week, and we have one resolution to present tonight.
Right. Infrastructure.
Judge, infrastructure met last week, and nothing to report to the court tonight.
Moving on. Any public comments from the public that's here on any item that we have before us tonight on this agenda? Right now be the time for comments. Hearing or seeing none, we'll move on. Under special reports, there's one at your table on Faulkner County Library. And that coming up, your report, John, is here. If anyone has any questions of John. Thank you. All right. Old business, I know of none. Is there any? Moving on to new business. Starting with it, tab three. Under tab three is proposed ordinance 22-01. What is your pleasure?
Judge, I move that ordinance 22-01 be put on the table for the court's consideration.
Second. Motion been made and seconded for this ordinance 22-21. Counselor, would you read it by title only?
Proposed ordinance 22-01, sponsored by Budget and Finance, be enacted by the Form Court, County of Faulkner, State of Arkansas, an ordinance being titled an appropriation ordinance to amend and supplement Faulkner County Ordinance 20-32, dated December 17, 2020.
Yes, this is 2020.
Heard the ordinance read. It's before you. Do you have any questions on the proposed ordinance 22-01?
This is a 2021 title ordinance cleanup for last year. Some money didn't get in time to be appropriated that has to be spent out of last year, and then it's just money making categories come out right, some bookkeeping.
Like I said before, that we balanced to the dollar, all of a sudden we started balancing to the dime.
So no, to the penny.
Penny.
To the penny.
Okay. Two pennies, yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Good. Any other questions on cleanup ordinance? Hearing none, seeing none. Madam Secretary, would you call the roll?
Yes, Your Honor. Allison.
Yes.
Boyer.
Yes.
Brown.
Yes.
Higgins.
Yes.
Kendricks.
Yes.
Knight.
Yes.
Pearson.
Yes.
Pickett.
Yes.
Rowland.
Yes.
Schock.
Yes.
Strain.
Yes.
Proposed ordinance 22-01 does pass. Turn with me to tab 4. Proposed ordinance 22-02, sponsored by the Courts and Public Safety. What is your pleasure?
Your Honor, I make a motion.
And Finance, excuse me.
And I make a motion that we consider proposed ordinance 22-02.
Second. Second. Motion been made and seconded.
Was that Kendricks? Okay, thank you.
For approval of proposed ordinance 22-02. Counselor, would you read the ordinance by title only?
Proposed ordinance 22-02, co-sponsored by the Courts and Public Safety and Budget Finance, being enacted by the Quorum Court, County of Faulkner, State of Arkansas, the ordinance being titled an appropriation ordinance to amend and supplement Faulkner County Ordinance 21-45, dated December 16, 2021, and to declare an emergency.
You heard the ordinance read. The floor is now open for any discussion. I'm going to refer to the chairman of Courts of Public Safety, Justice Higgins, come on this ordinance.
I think I'll defer to our county clerk.
Okay. I'm sorry, I was taking a note. So okay. What was the question?
Basically, are there any questions regarding?
Oh, yeah. Are there any questions? This is for
this is for the new tablets, right?
For the new tablets. And sanitizing wands for the voting machines. And the voting tablets would be more energy efficient. more efficient. They would help ensure the integrity of the election by cutting out mistakes that poll workers can make. They are less encumbered with cords and things. They'll spin better, and they also scan the driver's license, so it'll help spread in the spread of COVID. Slow down the spread. We don't want to spread it.
Margaret, how many tablets total was that again?
82.
82. Thank you.
Margaret, is that a direct purchase or is this a lease program?
No, that's a direct purchase through ES&S. They will, we will have a license agreements with them and a software management with them and a hardware warranty with them where they will service them.
Ms. Dollar, did you say if there's going to be a yearly fee for the upgrades and things like that? Are we looking at ongoing costs on this?
The upgrades have to do with the software that we will be responsible for each year on it, which is included in this price for the first year. That runs about $4,000 a year. And we're already paying that for the previous tablets. It's not a new amount that we will be incurring. So we pay that already, so that won't be an additional cost.
And Councilor Murphy, you said that this is covered under the American Rescue Plan and qualifies under the final rule and the interim final rule because it's to mitigate the spread of COVID, right?
That's correct.
I'm all for this, Ms. Dollar.
Thank you.
Any other questions? Here you're saying none, Martin. Would you call the roll?
Yes, Your Honor. Allison.
Yes.
Boyer.
Yes.
Brown.
Yes.
Higgins.
Yes.
Knight.
Yes.
I'm sorry, I should have did Kendricks.
Yes.
Knight.
Yes.
Lahosky. Pearson.
Yes.
Pickett.
Yes.
Rowland.
Yes.
Schock.
Yes.
Strain.
Yes.
Ordinance 22-02 does pass. Turn with it, tab 5, and proposed ordinance 22-03. What is your pleasure?
Judge, I move that the proposed ordinance 22-03 be put on the table for the court's consideration.
Second.
It's been made and seconded. Proposed ordinance 22-03. Counselor, read the ordinance by title only.
Proposed ordinance 22-03 be enacted by the form of court of Faulkner County, State of Arkansas, an ordinance to be entitled an appropriation ordinance to amend and supplement Faulkner County Ordinance 21-45 and to declare an emergency.
You heard the ordinance read. It's before you. Floor is now open for any discussion on this ordinance. Tom, one question I'll have. We passed this ordinance last year. That's 21-45 he referred to.
That's correct. And we weren't able to get any buyouts last year because they had to do some asbestos surveys, which prolonged the process. And since it's a new year, we had to get the money reappropriated. It's just a pass-through.
Okay. Anybody have any questions? Hearing none, Madam Secretary, would you call the roll?
Yes, Your Honor. Allison.
Yes.
Boyer.
Yes.
Brown.
Yes.
Higgins.
Yes.
Kendricks.
Yes.
Knight.
Yes.
Pearson.
Yes.
Pickett.
Yes.
Rowland.
Yes.
Schock.
Yes.
Strain.
Yes.
Proposed ordinance 22-03 does pass. Turn with me to tab 6. Proposed ordinance 22-04. Collector's position sponsored by the Personnel Committee. What is your pleasure?
I make a motion that we consider proposed ordinance 22-04.
Second.
Motion has been made and seconded for consideration for this ordinance. Councilor, would you read the ordinance?
Proposed ordinance 22-04, sponsored by the Personnel Committee, be enacted by the former court of Faulkner County, State of Arkansas, an ordinance to be entitled an ordinance to create a full-time position in the Faulkner County Collector's Office and to collect delinquent taxes and to declare an emergency. Whereas the Faulkner County Collector's Office is responsible for collecting all property taxes in the county, and whereas the Faulkner County Collector's Office is in need of a full-time employee dedicated to collect delinquent taxes owed, now therefore be it ordained by the former Court of Faulkner County, Arkansas. Section 1, one new position is created in the Faulkner County Collector's Automation Fund, 3001, Department 0118. The salary for this position is $37,446.28. Section 2, $56,128.93 is appropriated from Collector's Automation Fund 3001 to Department 0118, Collector's Automation, as follows. $37,446.28 to salaries full-time, $2,864.64 to Social Security matching, $5,736.77 to Social Security matching.
Should be retirement.
Excuse me, that
should be. Should be retirement.
$9,212.50 to Fund 1009 insurance, $60 to workman's compensation, $374.46 to unemployment, $93.50 to life insurance, $340.78 to dental vision. Section 3, emergency clause, adoption of this ordinance is an emergency, and therefore an emergency is hereby declared to exist. And this ordinance shall be in full force and effect immediately upon passage and approval.
You heard proposed ordinance read. 1007 should say retirement by common consent. We'll insert retirement, take out the Social Security twice. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay, let's bring that. Floor is now open for discussion on this ordinance.
Judge?
Yes.
I guess, why is there an emergency clause attached to this one? I don't think I've ever seen a personnel ordinance with an emergency clause. I was just curious what made this so critical that it wouldn't go through its normal three reading process.
I'll have to refer to somebody else because I don't know.
Yep, I'm going to ask Ms. Coots to speak on this behalf. It's her request that we have this in one reading.
Yes, I had this done as an emergency clause because my current part-time help, which I hired in August of 2020, she came with 30 years of accounting experience from a Dallas firm where she moved from. And she is currently looking for a full-time position elsewhere. And I'm afraid I'm going to lose her as a valued employee if I don't act on it quickly and make her full-time.
Follow-up discussion. Mr. Kendrick, another is that this ordinance was passed by personnel and sponsored by personnel. It came to budget and finance. We approved, the committee approved it and passed it on to the full court. So it may be mistitled as sponsored by personnel. It's here because it went from personnel to budget and finance to this committee. So that may be an angle on the about the emergency.
Does that help, Chris?
Yeah, thank you. Thank you.
Other discussion?
I would think the sooner we pass this, the sooner we collect back taxes, which would help.
That is correct.
Which would help the entire function of county government. So that's what this, and it comes out of the automation fund, so it's not coming out of county general.
I don't know if anybody knows her office better than her. I'll be supporting this ordinance.
I just have a question. Is she your only part-time help right now?
Right now she is my
so
only part-time help.
So will you keep that part-time position she works, open? I mean, if this is passed, will that part-time position
stay
open?
Yes, so I can continue to increase collections, yes.
Okay. And if you don't know this, the answer to this is fine. But do you know how much delinquent tax...
I did run that. Okay. I thought I might be asked that. It's right now it's over $9 million.
Wow.
And I have done several things in my office since I've been collector. that weren't previously done by other collectors to increase our collection, which also has increased the workload on my girls. We do a monthly marriage license report, which I get from the county clerk's office, and so they go through that marriage license report, which is usually about 5 pages front and back, and they link newly married couples, so if one comes in and gets car tags or pays their taxes, we can collect from the spouse as well at the same time. We get a daily address report from the assessor's office on every parcel that they make an address change on that we don't always get. I started doing a mineral garnishment where they go to the mineral companies and garnish their pay if their taxes go delinquent. I do a delinquent business report where I have one girl that works on them and calls them and makes them aware of their delinquent business. I started doing an ABC liquor license revoking, and we have revoked one liquor license in Faulkner County for delinquent taxes. That's something new that we started too. I'm also working on a delinquent mobile home report, working with the assessors. I'm trying to get some of these older delinquent mobile homes that don't have a property address or a mailing address that go back to 1985. We're trying to get some of that cleaned up. And some of the collectors, there may be like a handful of collectors that started doing the income tax garnishment. And so I'm wanting to implement that and start doing that. And this is the time of the year to start doing that.
Thank you. One last question, just for informational purposes. When you've already got the money in your fund, when it reaches a certain level, what happens to that money? Does it have to be turned back to the state?
No.
And
there is no limit on that. So I quit collecting money for my automation fund. I turned that back to all the entities.
Okay. Thank you.
Other discussion on proposed ordinance before you?
Yes, sir. Councilor Murphy, I was looking at the law on the collector's automation fund. It's different than the clerk's automation, the circuit clerk's automation fund. But the way I read it, I sent you an email, but I haven't got a response yet. But it looked to me like the one line in there said that the quorum court shall appropriate money at the direction of the collector. I read that to where if she's using it for the specific purposes outlined in the law, that it's really our duty or obligation, whether or not, it's not our duty to run her office, but it's our duty to appropriate the money that she is wanting to use from that fund for those specific purposes. Is that a correct reading?
I'm going to have to pull that statute up. If you would just give me a couple seconds, Justice Allison, okay. And then I'll get to that.
Thank you. I think it's part C on section 3 of that.
I did print it out and hand it out at the last budget and finance meeting, and it does say that. I also had the salary survey with me at the end. I wanted that. I handed it out at the budget and finance. And so, I made extra copies.
So the statute reads, as has been discussed earlier, that monies deposited in this fund, this collector's automation fund, may accumulate and shall be appropriated and expended for the uses designated in this section by the quorum court at the direction of the county collector. So in this case, as Justice Allison has indicated and as Ms. Koontz, if Ms. Koontz directs the funds to be used in a certain way, it would be very difficult for the quorum court to object. However, that's not to say that that statute could possibly infringe upon the constitutional issues that we have of separation of powers, which happens so often. And what I would advise this court is, even though the statute says at the direction, it is still within this court's responsibility to appropriate money. That really is your number one duty. And no executive authority can supersede that power. So both the Collector's Automation Fund and I believe there are other automation funds as well, sometimes seem to infringe upon that duty. But I would say in this particular case, the director can request it, the director cannot require it.
I would think, though, correct me if I'm wrong, but it seemed to me the legislative intent there was, like Justice Shock said, that the collector knows what she needs in the office, and those funds are collected for those three purposes, and we're pretty much out of line if we don't.
I agree. I think there definitely was legislative intent. But once again, even the state legislature cannot supersede what has been given to this body as a constitutional duty.
Okay, thank you, sir.
Justice Allison, just for your edification, a similar request has been made before this court, and this court did reject it. I happen to support this request. So, yes, we can.
Okay.
Other questions to share our discussion on this item?
Judge, I have a question. Ms. Coons, is that part-time position, is it also paid out of the automation fund?
Yes, it is. Okay.
Can I ask one more question of whoever this would apply to? When we do the cost of living allowances and all, when this position is pay is raised, will those funds also come out of the collector's automation fund in the future?
Should be. Well, this position is going to be funded out of her collector's automation.
Thank you.
And it's my understanding today, if that fund was liquidated, all of a sudden we decided we don't want that funding, that money would be dispersed to the school districts.
It'll be distributed to all the entities. Okay.
All taxing entities.
80% of them go to the school districts.
Yes.
And all. And all. Other questions? Hearing none, Madam Secretary, would you call the roll?
Yes, Your Honor. Allison.
Yes.
Boyer.
Yes.
Brown.
Yes.
Higgins.
Yes.
Kendricks.
Yes.
Knight.
Yes.
Pearson.
Yes.
Pickett.
Yes.
Rowland.
Yes.
Schock.
Yes.
Strain.
Yes.
Proposed ordinance 22-04 is approved. Turn with me. Tab 7. Proposed resolution 22-01. The MEMS resolution. This is an annual. Need to do this annually. What is your pleasure?
Your Honor, I make a motion that we approve resolution 2201.
Second.
Motion has been recommended for approval. Counselor, would you read the resolution and title only?
Resolution 22-01 be resolved by the Coroner Court, County of Faulkner. A resolution titled a resolution authorizing the extension of a medical ambulance service franchise to the Metropolitan Emergency Medical Services System, hereinafter MEMS, by Faulkner County, Arkansas.
Heard the resolution read. Floor is now open for any discussion on this resolution. This requires an individual vote if we do it by.
It requires an individual vote.
All right. Madam Secretary, would you call the roll?
Yes, Your Honor. Allison.
Yes.
Boyer.
Yes.
Brown.
Yes.
Higgins.
Yes.
Kendricks.
Yes.
Knight.
Yes.
Pearson.
Yes.
Pickett.
Yes.
Rowland.
Yes.
Schock.
Yes.
Strain.
Yes.
Proposal resolution 22-1 is approved. Turn with me to tab 8. Proposed resolution 22-02. What is your pleasure?
Judge, I move resolution 2202 be put on the court to be considered by the court at this time.
Second.
Motion been made and second. This resolution be before you. Counselor, would you read this resolution title only?
Resolution 22-02, I believe this is sponsored by the Budget and Finance Committee. A resolution of Faulkner County certifying local government endorsement of business to participate in tax back program as authorized by ACA Section 15-4-2706D of the Consolidated Incentive Act of 2003.
You've heard resolution 22-02 read. The floor is now for discussion on this resolution.
Judge Baker, I've got a question.
Yeah.
I think this is a fantastic program that we can offer new companies coming into Butler County. But I do have a process question. This might be for Scott. They pay the sales tax, and then the state refunds them, or does it come back to us? We refund it. How does that work? Are they just, or do they just file a report and their sales tax exempt?
You're going to have to ask a pay grade up higher than mine. That's probably a DSNA question. I have no idea. I believe this, this is the first time I've seen anything like this. So
Jamie's here with, he's worked with the city. They've approved these already for these two companies. So Jamie, comment. Can you answer that question?
Yes, sir. To some extent, and I'll speak to kind of both of the resolutions because in practice, they will be they'll be applied identically. Coincidentally, they also bear the same name, even though they're completely unrelated private companies. We're on the same street, so keep the mailman in your thoughts and prayers for the next several years at the industrial park. There are a handful of economic development tools, very small handful that cities and counties have. This is one of them. Typically, with any sort of sales tax rebate, I know when we look at our DF&A monthly reports, or when I look at them for the city or county, you'll have your collections for the month by sales, you have collections for the month by use, and then you'll have a rebate, and it's usually there are other programs related even to the consumption of sales tax on power for manufacturing. You can apply for a rebate, and I think what happens is they will withhold the rebate that was awarded from the next month's payment to you. So you'll see in the accounting what your kind of total. When I look at it, I'm looking for kind of what was the total commerce that took place that month, and then there'll be a less rebates line item, and what that is, and for some of these, you know, programs that involve a sales tax rebate, you know, you have a window of eligibility, and it may be a year, it may be 6 months, and it's just when companies do their paperwork, submit it, and it's approved to DFA. That rebate will come out, but it'll be withheld from the proceeds that you would receive that month. So it's not really the money going back and forth at the city or county level. It would go from DFA and then be withheld from what's ultimately dispersed to you. I know, just as a quick overview, with the two projects, Westrock Beverage, who's moving into the Kimberly-Clark facility. That's the Ford family. Fantastic project. It's the largest private capital investment in the county's history. Just a piece of trivia there. $160 million capital investment announced at 250 jobs to be created. And then Westrock Converting, who was previously, many of you may have known it as Rock 10. I don't see, some of you may remember it as Cleve Pack. I don't know. It depends. I'm not going to guess anybody's age, but it became Westrock when Rock 10 merged with Mead Paper Company. That is roughly an $18 million capital investment and 33 new positions. There are expenses within that capital investment has to do with eligible machinery and fixtures that are attached to the facility that are subject to sales tax, and then those are the ones that are eligible for rebate. City's already passed this. The state's already passed it, with the exception of some carve-outs for constitutional state taxes. And then this is before y'all. But it would be, you know, it could be a large machine, the portion that's subject to sales tax, or it could be desks and shelving and warehouse equipment, anything like that.
Thank you.
Jamie, thank you. Any questions, Jamie?
Yes, sir. What we have you up there. Some of my constituents say that programs like this are picking winners and losers of businesses. I'm all for this. I believe this is a way to grow the economy that through rebates that they have. But could you explain to them and clarify that this does not mean that any corporation, any company, a company that's here would also qualify if this body was grant the permission. If a standing corporation that invested another $100 million, they would also be eligible for these types of rebates. And it's only, like you just said there, and I'm just repeating this for constituents, that this applies to the capital investment, not to ongoing monthly expenditures for office supplies and different things like that.
That's correct, and that's an excellent question and distinction is within the consolidated incentives and AEDC is the agency we work most closely with on the retention expansion. But that's another good point is, so here's an example of a company that's going to be new to Conway, but then here's another one that's been here for 50 years and is looking to reinvest into their facility. We divide those incentives into what we call discretionary or statutory. This is a statutory incentive. A company has a right to this if they go through the process and they meet all of the definitions. Some of that has to do with the only distinctions that are important is what type of business are you, and there's some NAICS codes or SIC codes, and so being manufacturers, both of these, they would be eligible. There are other, like a retail establishment isn't, because the distinction is for primary jobs that are mainly exporting goods and importing other people's money into the economy. A discretionary incentive is one where the director, either the director of AEDC or the Secretary of Commerce, signs off on kind of a negotiated, maybe the quick action closing fund, and it's, you know, a little bit let's make a deal, and a competitive environment, and that's negotiated at the state level. For example, cities and counties don't even have the tool in place to be able to do that. What we do have is a process that's prescribed. It's statutory in nature, and we can choose to follow it and enact it or not.
And if we were not to issue this, this company could move to Searcy or Jonesboro, and they would do it, and we would lose out on all the jobs.
I mean, in reality, we do answer that question. It's like, well, what are they going to do if you don't? Are they going to pick up and move? The way these companies will work, the money that is saved on this capital is going to go back into other capital. That's just the nature of these incentives. That's why it's tied to things like the fixtures and the things that they want their capital to go into product and to fall through by competing in a way that works well either globally or locally.
Yes, sir. I appreciate it. I just wanted that clarification from our constituents. I just hope that you'll bring us more of these projects and spread them out around the county.
No, this is an important milestone. We talked a little bit about this. We have not brought these before. I'm glad we're doing them both in one meeting. So maybe it'd be nice to spread some out, and we'll do that later. The other incentive that I could imagine coming to this body, there's something called Industrial Revenue Bonds, Act 9 bond financing. And so for any project that were to take place outside the city of Conway in an unincorporated area, we'd come before this body. If it took place in an incorporated area somewhere else in the county, we'd go before that council.
Thank you, sir. Jimmy, I do have a question for you, Ron. Thank you for coming and educating us on this. And I just, if you know when you're allowed to say, do we have any estimates on what this will actually allow these companies to save so they can reinvest it back into that?
So it's difficult because there are caps as to, there's a ceiling on and I was trying to determine what that number might be, but, there's a ceiling on how much sales tax you pay on any one transaction. And so it's really going to depend how many invoices fall within that total investment and how large they are. So you'd only be getting the rebate back on the portion that's subject to tax if it's for one large equipment. But if it were a bunch of smaller ones, you'd have more transactions that were eligible. So I'll tell you after they submit all the rebates how much it was.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
I have one question. Where do companies go to start the process for this? DFNA?
To start the actual rebate
application process for the rebate program, yeah.
Yeah, so once they're enrolled in the program, I think that will all take place. Either it could take place, AEDC, I think, will likely kind of walk through the process with the company, but the rebate and the program itself will live within DFNA.
Okay. Thank you.
Any other questions? Jamie, thank you for coming.
Thank you.
A whole lot for coming. Hearing no other questions, Secretary, would you call the roll?
Yes, Your Honor. Allison.
Yes.
Boyer.
Yes.
Brown.
Yes.
Higgins.
Yes.
Kendricks.
Yes.
Knight.
Yes.
Pearson.
Yes.
Pickett.
Yes.
Rowland.
Yes.
Schock.
Yes.
Strain.
Yes.
Resolution 22-02 does pass. Turn with tab 9. Hold resolution 22-03. What is your pleasure? Sponsored by the Budget and Finance Committee. What is your pleasure?
Judge, I move that resolution 22-03 be put on the be considered by the full court at this time.
Second.
Motion been made and second. Resolution 22-03. Counselor, would you read the resolution by title only?
Resolution 22-03, a resolution of Faulkner County certifying local government endorsement of business to participate in tax back program as authorized by ACA Section 15-4-2706D of the Consolidated Incentive Act of 2003.
And this one is for West Rock Beverage Company. The floor is now for any discussion on it. The similar resolution that you just passed. Any questions? Madam Secretary, call the roll.
Yes, Your Honor. Allison.
Yes.
Boyer.
Yes.
Brown.
Yes.
Higgins.
Yes.
Kendricks.
Yes.
Knight.
Yes.
Pearson.
Yes.
Pickett.
Yes.
Rowland.
Yes.
Schock.
Yes.
Strain.
Yes.
Resolution 22-03 is passed.
Your Honor.
Yes.
Before we move to appointments, could I address a procedural issue?
You certainly can.
As we go into the new year, this being the first meeting of the new year, I'd like to address how we handle ordinances when we introduce them and just make a suggestion to the court that we can consider or not. And the court makes decisions either by ordinance, by resolution, or by motion. So I'm willing to follow it up with a motion, but you've handled it well tonight as far as introducing ordinances and resolutions and reading them by title only. And we have struggled with that in last year where we remember to do it sometimes and we don't remember. I'd like to make a suggestion that that we by procedure read all of our ordinances by title only, and that way that solves that whole stepping around the issue. And should, as we introduce an ordinance need to be read completely in its entirety, basically we could do it backwards than we're doing it now. Yeah. So now by standard we assume that all ordinances are going to be completely read, and then if we remember we say by title only. I would like to make a motion that we invert that and that we assume that all are going to be read by title only unless a quorum court member wants to include and we read the entire ordinance. So I'll put that on the table for consideration as a motion.
Second. Got a second.
Who was the second? Thank you.
Can't hear, but I think you're right. Okay. You've heard Randy's comments. Floor is now open for discussion from any core court member about the way we handle it tonight. And if we need it, and as I understand, if we need it all to be read, when we take up the ordinance, we will recommend it all be read.
I just have one. I have no problem with it. What would the threshold be to read an ordinance? In its entirety?
You know, it could be the topic of the ordinance itself. It could be...
I just mean, what voting threshold would it require? Is it a first and a second, or is it a majority vote?
A simple majority.
Simple majority.
Because it's a procedural issue.
Right. I have no problems with it. There's no constitutional challenge there.
No, we're okay.
Good.
Other discussion? All in favor of this motion, say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Thank you.
Thank you, Your Honor. Thank you, Court.
Thank you for bringing it up. Next item on my agenda is appointments. We had an opening on the library board. We had one applicant, and it's Jeff Whittington has been the one selected to
Philip.
I think you said it all, Your Honor. This is a was an appointment to the library board. We only had one applicant, Mr. Whittingham. The applicant was put forward by Judge Baker, and we need confirmation from the quorum court.
Need a motion.
Need a motion. Yes, sir.
So move right here. Do we have a second?
Second.
Motion made and seconded for Jeff Whittington to serve a term on the library board. Any discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay, thank you. Moving right on, announcements. I have a couple, but wait on mine. Anybody got any announcements they want?
Your Honor, the occupants of the animal shelter facility closed for business earlier this week, 16th?
Sunday.
Yeah, that was the last day. I stopped by there today, and they are already starting to clean up and evacuate. I guess that's the building, the word, but clean up to leave the building.
The outside grounds have already been cleaned up and all that, which looks off the front. Mark, you can.
I am proud to say that we are done with redistricting. We're ready to run reports if y'all are ready to request them. Once the Secretary of State updates our voter registration, we can go and do a little bit of cleanup or see if we need to do some cleanup, but we're ready to run reports and complete it this time. When today's the last day to file your campaign contribution, your annual campaign contribution, for those of you that haven't. I have sent you out a couple notices and warnings, so I do have my stuff here today. I can get you the report if you need it, and we can take care of it before you leave here tonight if you haven't got it taken care of.
It's got to be done.
And that's elected officials as well, but I don't see any here that hadn't done theirs.
The reports that you said you can do for redistricting, can you tell me what you're talking about? This is my first time to...
It's mostly for those that are out going to campaign. I can produce the list for their specific jurisdiction area now, where I couldn't until we got this complete.
Thank you.
I don't think mine changed. Mine didn't change one bit.
Do what?
When will the Secretary of State have that up?
We've asked them to do it sooner, but the last time they did it was the 3rd of this month, so we're thinking maybe February the 3rd.
Bologna Veterans Museum announced
that we've asked them to do it sooner.
Nominations for Faulkner County Veteran of the Year until March 15th. If you go on Facebook and go to the Bologna Veterans Museum website, you can reach out and contact Ms. Linda Hicks and submit those nominations.
Thank you.
Yes, sir.
We had a veteran pass away this last week. He was 103 years old. His name was Taylor Nolan. Some of you knew Taylor. Most of you didn't. Taylor Nolan was fighting the Japanese long before they bombed Pearl Harbor. And he was 103 year old. And Thanksgiving Day, he's taking care of his cat. His health was good and all that. And lived out on Wishville, but passed away last week. Thank you. Other announcements before
Justice Allison, you said this is for the Bologna Museum. Do they have to be a Bologna resident?
No, it's a Faulkner County Veteran of the Year is the way they talk. And if you've never been to one of their ceremonies, they do a great ceremony on Veterans Day, and they do a few other things during the year. But they usually have that, whoever wins that Faulkner County Veteran of the Year award, they usually speak on Veterans Day.
One announcement that includes two things. We tried for the last 4 years to get a red light at Skunk Hollow and 286. Last week, we got a letter from the highway department. Signed off on it. We'll be going forward with the red light at 286 at Skunk Hollow. To tell you any details or how much it's going to cost, we don't know. The last one we put in was at Crestlawn, out here on Sunny Gap and Crestlawn. And we worked with highway department and engineering firms to get that done and paid our share. We don't know any more of that. Part two of that is we've asked for widening of Highway 25 at Elliott Road coming south from Lucier. Where the school's on Elliott Road, there's just two lanes there, and in the morning it's a deal. We've asked for that. We've been turned down twice, but the third time was the charm. They've agreed to let us apply for and work with them on widening that, probably put a turn lane in that part of it and improve the safety. So it was well needed. We appreciate it.
Going south?
Going south. Okay. Coming south. It's in a curb, vast curb, and mm-hmm. road turns these. So we're going to get that. And it, we got the bid last week on the improvements from the 8 Mile store to probably the Game and Fish down on Clinton Road. It didn't get all the way to Highway 89, but it's a large project this year, and the bids went out, and so that project, the bids actually come in lower than estimate the Highway Department has, so we're proud of that. We'll be building one new bridge on that section, but that's going to a lot of traffic getting off at Mayflower, coming to Bologna, up Clinton Road and South Tunnel Road. It comes out to 8 Mile. So it's moving. Work should start sometime early spring on that project. That's all the announcements I've got.
Judge Baker, the RFPs for the American Rescue Plan will go out hopefully this weekend. What that means is basically we are publishing to the community that we're taking in applications for infrastructure projects and community projects. And the deadline for that will be March 15th for submission, which means come April, this court will begin reviewing those applications and determining which ones are worthy and not worthy.
Let me follow up just a minute there. We've got about 7 proposed requests that we received. And we had so much on our budget, getting it approved, all this stuff. We just kept pushing it forward and not trying to go there. Then all of a sudden, we finally decided we don't know if there's more out there or not, so we're just going to do this RFP and find out what's out there. And I know it doesn't speak good for the ones that have already come in, but there's no use shutting the door on somebody that might like to apply for these funds, some area, and so we're going to just throw it out like that.
So the 7 that you've already got, will they need to reapply, or will the previous applications be okay?
We will ask them to reapply.
Okay, thank you.
Yes, we really will. Not no particulars and all that, but they may have done changed their mind.
Judge, how will the public be notified about the RFP?
Philip?
Yep, it's going to be on the website, and it'll be published in the newspaper, just like every other invitation that we normally have with bids.
Make a motion, we adjourn.
Motion.